Sports, weather, entertainment, and much more. This is News on the Edge.
Good evening, and welcome to Edge News for April 24th, 2024. It is time for Les Wagner and a little more non-stop breaking news and smooth tunes from the hours of 7 to midnight here on 88.7. I'm Claire, and I'm with Mars and Derek, coming to you live from the Student Union Building on the City of New Paltz campus. Topping tonight's national headlines, in taking on the unprecedented question of whether Donald Trump is immune from prosecution for the actions he took while in office, the Supreme Court is in position to have a major say in shaping presidential power and accountability for future occupants of the White House. But the way the justices have timed and framed the case seem likely to have a much more immediate impact, analysts say. Delaying Trump's federal trial on charges of trying to subvert the 2020 election results until after this year's presidential election. When the justices chose to hear the case and scheduled argument for Thursday, rather than let stand a unanimous appeals court decision that greenlighted Trump's trial, they said they would look only at whether former presidents are shielded from prosecution for actions taken as part of their official duties. But the special counsel's indictment of Trump includes a mix of official conduct and private acts. That means the high court's ruling almost certainly will create more work for the trial court judge before she can ramp up courtroom proceedings in the former president's D.C. election obstruction case. Even if the Supreme Court finds that Trump can be prosecuted, that additional fact-finding could sound, quote, the death knell, unquote, for the prospects of completing his trial before the election, said a person connected to the D.C. trial court who spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly.
Tennessee lawmakers passed a bill on Tuesday to allow teachers and other school staff members to carry concealed handguns on school campuses. The measure, if it becomes law, would require those carrying guns to go through training and to have the approval of school officials, but parents and most other school employees would not be notified. The bill is one of the most significant pieces of public safety legislation to advance in Tennessee after a shooting just over a year ago at a private Christian school in Nashville left 3 students and 3 staff members dead. The attack galvanized parents at the school and many others in Tennessee, including the state's Republican governor, to demand action that could prevent similar violence. But many of them believed that restricting access to guns was the solution, and critics of the legislation have argued that bringing more weapons onto school campuses would not improve the safety and could even amplify danger facing students. Prosecutors opposed the bill packed the House chamber and corridors of the Capitol on Tuesday, carrying signs that said, quote, kids deserve more, and, quote, have you lost your ever-loving minds?
Conservative Supreme Court justices appeared skeptical Wednesday that state abortion bans after their sweeping ruling overturning Roe v. Wade violate federal health care law, though some also questioned the effects of emergency care for pregnant patients. The case marks the first time the Supreme Court has considered the implications of a state ban since overturning the nationwide right to abortion. It comes from Idaho, which is among 14 states that now ban abortion at all stages of pregnancy with very limited exceptions. The High Court has already allowed the state ban to go into effect, even in medical emergencies, and it was unclear whether members of the conservative majority were swayed by the Biden administration's argument that federal law overrides the state in rare emergency cases where pregnant patients' health is at serious risk.
President Biden on Wednesday signed a law that would ban Chinese-owned TikTok unless it's sold within a year. It is the most serious threat yet to the video streaming app's future in the U.S., intensifying America's tech war with China. Still, the law is not expected to cause any immediate disruption to TikTok, as a forthcoming legal challenge and various hurdles to selling the app will most likely cause months of delay. The measure was talked into a bill providing foreign aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. The law stipulates that ByteDance must sell its stake in TikTok in 12 months under the threat of being shut down. The move is the culmination of Washington turning the screws on TikTok for years.
The authorities are offering a reward of up to $20,000 in exchange for information that could help them find the person who they believe fatally shot a juvenile dolphin at a beach in Louisiana, officials say on Tuesday. Officials at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said in a news release that a bottlenose dolphin found dead last month in Cameron Parish, L.A., had injuries, quote, consistent of being shot with a firearm, They added that a necropsy had, quote, revealed multiple bullets lodged in the carcass, including in the brain, spinal cord, and heart of the dolphin. In the United States, bottlenose dolphins are found along both the west and east coasts and throughout the Gulf of Mexico. They can also be seen in the Caribbean. They are vulnerable to human-caused and natural threats and stressors, including diseases, pollution, and vessel strikes.
And now, state headlines. Governor Kathy Hochul today announced major investments and initiatives to increase access to higher education in the FY 2025 budget. The budget takes key steps to expand access to financial aid and invest in State University of New York and City University of New York campuses. To quote, "When my dad got his college degree, our family's life was changed forever. I want every New York student to have the opportunity," unquote, Governor Hochul said. Quote, "In the FY 2025 budget, we are taking critical steps towards expanding access to financial aid and ensure every New York student can continue their education," unquote. In the two previous budgets enacted under Governor Hochul, state operating funding for higher education has increased by a total of $1.07 billion, growing from $6.15 billion to $7.22 billion. The FY 2025 budget continues to make record investments to expand access to higher education and ensure all students get the opportunities they deserve, bringing total state operating funding to $7.58 billion. The FY 2025 budget includes Governor Hochul's plan to require school districts to ensure every high school senior completes a free application for federal student aid, or the FAFSA, or the New York State DREAM Act application. Students who choose not to fill an application must sign a waiver form indicating they are aware of the available financial aid but choose not to pursue it.
A man has been arrested on suspicion of assaulting random women in New York City in a string of incidents described by police as hate crimes. Armstead Daquan, 31, is accused of striking women in the face, back, and head during attacks in March and April. The seven women all reported that they were attacked by an unknown individual. Recent videos depicting assaults on women in the city have been widely circulated on social media, but Daquan is not suspected to have been involved. There have been 50 unprovoked assaults on women in Manhattan so far this year, according to police figures cited by NBC News. Daquan faces charges of hate crime and assault, attempted hate crime and assault, and aggravated harassment, a New York Police Department spokesperson said.
Gaza war protesters have vowed to remain at Columbia University until their demands are met, despite mass arrests and disciplinary action. More than 100 students were arrested at Columbia protest, quote, encampments last week, followed by dozens more at Yale and New York universities in recent days. A deadline that was given by the university on Tuesday for protesters to disband by midnight has now been extended by 48 hours, with officials reporting important progress in talks to reach a deal. Columbia President Manoush Shafiq earlier warned that without an agreement, she would have to consider, quote, alternative options, unquote, for clearing the encampments before her term ends on the 6th of May, ahead of graduation ceremonies later in the month.
President Joe Biden has pardoned a Capital Region resident and commuted the sentence of a Hudson Valley resident who was sentenced for drug-related offenses. The White House announced that Stacey Lynn Wilder, 49 years old, of Albany, was pardoned after serving a sentence for a nonviolent drug offense. Margaret Ann Van Dyke of Ellenville saw her sentence for conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute crack cocaine and fentanyl commuted to end in late August. Wilder, according to White House press release, would have gotten a smaller sentence, quote, under current law and sentencing practices today, unquote, under the terms of a guilty plea. She has completed both sentence and supervised release, and the White House has said she has since worked in state government.
That's it in national news. We'll be going to take a break in a moment. But first, the Edge Weather Report. Tonight, expect a low of 31 with breezy winds. Tomorrow, expect a high of 58 and a low of 30 with clear skies all day long. Don't go reaching for that dial. Mars will bring us back with some more headlines in just a moment. Your Edge News time is 7:09.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like fish sticks. Filets, I get, but sticks? Maybe we can just compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with Brie?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're just in time for the 101 on the 845. U.S. Representative Mark Mulliano defended Wednesday his favorable vote on a $95 billion foreign aid package to help Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, saying that, quote, America needs to speak with clarity, unquote, against aggression. Molinaro, a Republican from Catskill, who represented the 19th Congressional District, made his comments during a breakfast meeting of the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce at Diamonds Mill Resort in Socrates. Quote, What I can tell you is the world is in crisis, and this world is better when America speaks with clarity, unquote, Mulliano told the chamber audience. Quote, we cannot afford in this country to let other nations define the future of the world, because other nations don't have the same fundamental commitment. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Molinaro has served as House Speaker over the House vote on Saturday during the floor vote on it after getting permission from Speaker Mike Johnson to do so, according to the congressman's official. Molinaro, who was elected to his position in 2022, said that Russia, in particular Vladimir Putin, must be defeated in a war against Ukraine. Quote, Putin isn't just trying to take out the lives in Ukraine. He wants the natural resources and access, and he will not stop there, Molinaro said. The congressman said that other parts of the world need America's help.
A group of 20 Woodstockers have sent a letter to the town board objecting to the enactment of a 2024 Woodstock short-term rentals, or STRs for short, ordinance in effect since January 9, 2024. They claim the fees being charged by the town violate state laws. The 2024 SCR permit fees, quote, seem way out of proportion to the actual revenues required to manage the SCR program, unquote, they wrote. Permits must bear a direct relation to the cost of issuing the permit and inspecting or enforcing the permitted activity, and may not be charged to offset the cost of general government. Quote, a permit fee must bear a direct relation to the cost of issuing the permit and inspecting or enforcing the permitted activity, unquote. The 20 demanded that the town suspend the new 2024 SCR program and fee schedule.
Local hydrophiles representing the organizations of Riverkeeper, Clearwater, and the Hudson River Maritime Museum, all advocates for the restoration and preservation of the Roundout Creek waterfront, came to the Maritime Museum before noon on Tuesday, April 23rd, to stand under a sunny blue sky and celebrate State Senator Michelle Hingshi's successful efforts to include $6 million in the state budget to restoring the creek bulkhead. A retaining wall that has been deteriorating for some time, the bulkhead is all that stands between the land and the overtopping floodwaters of the creek, which arise every time there's a heavy downpour.
For all the students listening, here's the latest updates from around our campus. The Rutgers Spring Career and Internship Fair will highlight an anticipated group of 150-plus employers from New York City, New Jersey, and the tri-state area with full-time, part-time, and internship opportunities in a wide variety of fields. The fair is an ideal opportunity to meet and network with prospective employers. The event is open to all majors and students from all colleges. Attendees need to dress professionally, suit strongly encouraged, and bring multiple copies of their resume. The Career Resource Center is sponsoring free bus transportation to the event on Friday. Please register on the New Paltz website to take the bus. There are limited seats available. The bus will depart in front of the Vanderburg Hall at 9 a.m. and leave Rutgers University at 2:45 p.m. to return to campus by 5:30 p.m.
And now, top world headlines. Satellite images show two new tent encampments in southern Gaza as reports suggest Israel's military is preparing for an offensive in the city of Rafah. Rafah, the border with Egypt, is the only city in Gaza that has not yet entered. Well over a million people have been sheltering there for months. The U.S. has said a plan to protect them must be in place before any offensive. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu insists entering Rafah is necessary to defeat Hamas and search for hostages. The current war began when Hamas attacked Israeli communities near Gaza, killing about 1,200 people, mainly civilians, and taking about 250 hostages. Israel's subsequent campaign of aerial bombardment and ground operations in Gaza has killed 34,183 people, mostly civilians, according to the Hamas-run health ministry here. Over the 6 months of war, the Israel Defense Force, the IDF, have entered and taken control of all of northern Gaza, including Gaza City and most of central and southern Gaza, including the main southern city of Khan Yunis. They have since withdrawn from almost all these areas, but troops remain stationed on a road Israel has built that separates northern and southern Gaza.
The UN's human rights chief has said he is horrified by the destruction of Gaza's Nasser and al-Shifa hospitals and the reports of, quote, mass graves being found at the sites after Israeli raids. Volker Türk called for independent investigations into the deaths. Palestinian officials said they had exhumed 283 bodies at Nasser, some with their hands tied. It is not clear how they died or when they were buried. Israel's military said claims that it buried bodies were, quote, baseless, unquote. But it did say that during a two-week operation at the hospital in the city of Khan Yunis in February, troops, quote, examined, unquote, bodies buried by Palestinians, quote, in places where intelligence indicated the possible presence of hostages, unquote. Testimony for a number of released hostages who were held at Nasser Hospital places 10 hostages in their total, one of whom remains in captivity. Prior to the Israeli operation at Nasser, staff there has said they had been forced to bury bodies in the hospital's courtyard because nearby fighting prevented access to cemeteries. And videos were posted on social media showing burials taking place there. There were similar reports from al-Shifa before the first Israeli raid on the hospital took place in November.
The UN says that more than 40,000 have been forced from their homes. Roads have been turned into rivers in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, as a top official says flooding has, quote, escalated to extreme levels. Heavy rain has pounded Kenya in recent days, causing widespread devastation. The UN said that at least 32 people have lost their lives, and more than 40,000 have been forced from their homes because of the rain and flooding. Edwin Sifuna, who oversees Nairobi County, posted footage showing an entire neighborhood flooding. The situation in Nairobi has escalated to extreme levels. The county government, for all its efforts, is clearly overwhelmed. We need, quote, we need national emergency services mobilized to save lives, he said.
A DNA test has confirmed that Genshan, thought for several years to be a he, is in fact a she. A zoo in Japan has confirmed that a hippopotamus thought for 7 years to be a he is in fact a she. A DNA test was carried out after zookeepers noticed that the 12-year-old Genshan did not display typical male hippo behavior. Genshan arrived in Osaka from Mexico in 2017, and customs documents at the time said she was male. Quote, we will keep doing our best to provide a comfortable environment to Genshan, the zoo said. Unquote. According to the Mainichi newspaper, the zoo's vice director, Kiyoshi Yasufuku, said, quote, we recognize the importance of confirming the sex, and we want to ensure that such mistakes will not happen again, unquote.
A 9-year-old British boy has won a European championship with his uncanny impression of a seagull. Cooper, from Chesterfield and Derbyshire, traveled to the Belgian coastal town of Dupont to compete in the EC goal screeching competition. He originally started doing seagull impressions after being nipped by one while he was eating a tuna sandwich. He wanted to become Seagull Boy, like when Peter Parker became Spider-Man after being bitten by a spider. Quote, I feel like they are really nice animals. I like them because of their noises, unquote, said Cooper. Cooper's mom, Lauren, said it was initially annoying when he started doing seagull impressions, but then they realized he was really good at it. His parents and grandparents were there to support him, as was his sister Shelby, who had a big cone of chips made from foam. That's all we have for today's world news. We're going to take another quick break before diving into today's top sports news. Your Edge News time is 7:19.
Web. When might you be buzzed? When you suddenly love everything.
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name? You know what I'd love?
A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
You're just in time. Coach is making the call. It's time for the huddle, our spotlight on New Paltz Athletics. Members and facilitators on the Student Athletic Advisory Committee, or the SAAC, at the State University of New York at New Paltz got the opportunity to attend two different leadership building opportunities in the past two weekends. SAAC co-advisor Matt Guifrey, along with junior student athletes Morgan Hamill, Hamill, women's basketball, and Nick Brown, men's swimming, took a trip down to Bethesda, Maryland, to partake in a four-day-long NCAA student-athlete leadership forum. The following weekend, Brown, SAAC president Madison Mullman, women's basketball, and junior Chloe Jeffries, women's swimming, were invited to a conference-wide SAAC retreat in Syracuse, New York. During the leadership forum, more than 230 student athletes were grouped into teams of 30, led by coaches across three divisions and group facilitators from the event.
Quote, some of the common things I heard was the true impact of relationship building to be a leader and how you really need to know yourself, unquote, Jufri said. The quote, the theme was light the torch, so some of the sessions were about self-care and how you keep your own torch lit so you can be a good leader for others, quote, a student attending the meeting said. The next day, the group attended the Special Olympics event and bowled with the Special Olympics athletes. At the end of the event, the athletes were awarded with all-conference bowling awards. Quote, working with the Special Olympics was an amazing opportunity and always my favorite part of the weekend, Jafari said. Quote, I enjoy connecting with the Special Olympic athletes and their families, and I will take those interactions with me far after the weekend is over. Unquote.
New York Yankees manager Aaron Boone has developed quite the reputation within baseball as being someone who isn't afraid to stick up to his players when they've been wronged by umpires. We saw that once again on Monday when he was ejected after only five pitches following a check swing call at first base. However, it appears he was unjustly thrown from the game following a fan-heckling home plate umpire Hunter Wendelstead. Also on the same episode of the show, Baseball Bar B-Cast, the guys get into discourse about how the Baltimore Orioles have gone about creating their roster following a few years of tanking. However, there are other reasons why the O's have been able to successfully assemble a talented roster mainly made from their own pipeline.
Let's see what's new in the entertainment world. Spotify announced Wednesday that Taylor Swift's The Tortured Poets Department has become the first album in the app's history to pick up a billion streams in a single week. And it did that with still a couple days left to go in the 7-day drop period in question. The previous high watermark for the album's streams in the week belonged to Swift's last all-new release, Midnights, in October 2022. Spotify did not release a specific figure when it announced at the time that Midnights had broken the record, but observers added the numbers through publicly available Spotify data at the time and estimated the figures to be in the 700,000s. That Tortured Poets is setting a new Spotify record in 5 days into its run is not a surprise.
Kid Cudi has officially canceled his upcoming Insano World Tour after breaking his ankle during the Coachella set on Sunday. The rapper revealed the news of the tour cancellation on X, formerly known as Twitter, today, stating the injury requires a recovery period that interferes with the tour dates. All tickets will be refunded and the tour will be rescheduled for a later time. The rapper was one of the last-minute additions to the Coachella lineup, and all was going well during his set at the Sahara Tent until he attempted to jump off the stage and got injured. To quote, "Hey guys, so I broke my foot today at the show," unquote, he wrote on X shortly after the incident. Quote, "Just leaving the hospital. Never broken a bone before, so this is all a bit crazy. I just want to thank you all for your concerns and well wishes. I love y'all, man. I heard y'all still raging when I was off stage. Made me smile big," unquote.
And for our final of the night, Wacky Wednesday, where we bring the most random, ridiculous, or just plain revolting stories from around the globe. Emerging cicadas are so loud in one South Carolina county that residents are calling the sheriff's office asking why they can hear sirens or a loud roar. The Newberry County Sheriff's Office sent out a message on Facebook on Tuesday, letting people know that the whining sound is just the male cicadas singing to attract mates after more than a decade of being dormant. Some people have even flagged down deputies to ask what the noise is all about, Newberry County Sheriff Lee Foster said. The noisiest cicadas were moving around the county of about 38,000 people, about 40 miles northwest of Columbia, prompting calls from different locations as Tuesday wore on, Foster said.
New research suggests that breeding dairy cows to fart less, and therefore release less methane, could cut down on greenhouse gases. The team from Curtin University's Sustainability Policy Institute in Australia combed through 27 reports, drawing conclusions about various ways to curb methane emissions in the dairy and beef sections of the country. Food production is one of the leading causes of climate change. Livestock farming accounts for about 10% of greenhouse gas emissions, with one 2020 study finding the burps and farts from cattle, as well as manure management, are a significant contributor to global warming. The latest study, published in a journal Climate this month, and the first of its kind, suggests that transforming farmland into forests and wetland would be the most effective at reducing methane, but breeding less gassy cow may also be an avenue worth exploring.
Today's April 24th. If you're celebrating, happy birthday from the Edge News staff. Here are some folks to share your special day. Singer and talk show host Kelly Clarkson turns 42. TV and Broadway show actor Jordan Fisher turns 30. R&B singer Kehlani turns 29.
That's about it from us, folks. Before we go, let's take a look back at today in history. In 1981, the IBM personal computer is introduced. In 1833, a patent is granted for the first soda fountain. In 1792, Claude-Joseph Rouget-Delis composes Les Misérables. It will become France's national anthem.
And that'll be it from us this week. On the Edge News staff are our directors Alyssa Roldan and Jack Flowers. Tonight's engineer has been Caden Procaccini. Sources for Edge News have been provided by The New York Times, The Gothamist, The Times Union, The Daily Freeman, BBC, CNN, and The New Paltz Oracle. Stay tuned for more cutting-edge music. From the entire Edge News team, have a beautiful night.